Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, welcome back. It's another episode of the Better Sex Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and taking the time to sit with me and listen to another really cool conversation. Before I talk about my specific guest and the topic, I just want to say this really fits into my focus of helping women want sex again, right? Like, that's really the goal of the whole Desire Spa program and my free webinar and all of that. And there can be so many things going on with desire. It's not as simple as fix one thing and everything's magically fine. There are such a variety of things that can get in the way. But sometimes there is one thing, or sometimes there's a big thing. And my guest today, Dr. Matt Chalmers, is here to talk about hormones and sexual function, and really specifically testosterone and women, and what our levels often are, what they should be, how we can work to get those up, how to make this happen in our lives, and what kind of effects this can bring. So I hope you really enjoy it. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Matt, thank you so much for being with me today.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. I feel like the information about hormones is confusing. There's a lot of different people saying different things and then different for men and women. And so I'm looking forward to getting the whole overview about this.
I like to get information out so that people can get kind of a different idea and maybe something else to look up before they start choosing how they're going to let their bodies and their health go.
Yeah. So maybe we could just start with an overview of what these hormones are that are relevant to sex and sexual functioning. And, you know, I think they're also relevant to overall health, right? But maybe you could sort of speak to which hormones are we going to be talking about?
So the two primary ones that, you know, most people know about are testosterone and estrogen. Now, the problem we run into is that for some reason, people think that women, we should focus on giving women estrogen, which is not really the case that we've seen. So when we talk about estrogen, we can start there. If we're going to have a baby, it's a whole different conversation, but this is not about having babies. This is about more of a sex conversation. So forget that one. So if you have hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, headaches, joint pain, we need to look at your estrogen levels. If you don't have any of those, you don't need any more, because if we have the function, we don't need extra. So what we then start to look at is, well, where is your testosterone levels? And so as we start raising those, we can, even if the estrogens are a little bit low, your body will convert testosterone into estrogen. So the first thing we need to look at with women is, where's your testosterone? Let's fix that. Then let's go back 2, 3, 4 weeks later and say, how is your hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, joint pain, and headaches? And if they say, man, they're totally fine, we don't need any more. But the biggest piece is going to be the testosterone.
All right. So you want to intervene there first, even if it looks like the estrogen levels are low.
Absolutely. We want to start with testosterone because, like I said, if we can give one drug that covers two problems, much better idea.
Okay. So talk to me, you know, and the listeners a little bit about what is the function. I mean, I think people do have ideas. Men have testosterone and women have estrogen, you know, as if it's binary. But what's the function of testosterone in women specifically?
There's a couple of things that are just, I like to throw out for health function. So, you know, everybody says, well, testosterone's for muscles. Well, and it does help regenerate muscles. But remember, your heart is a muscle. Your blood vessels all have muscles in them. So it is very important that we do look at the muscle piece. But the other thing specifically for sex function is, a lot of people look at testosterone when they give it to men and they say, oh my gosh, the erections are so much better. They're longer, they're harder. Everything's better functioning from a physiological standpoint. What people fail to remember or understand, the clitoris is the same tissue embryonically. So you can get more function, you can get more blood flow, more nerve function into the clitoris if you give these women the proper amount of testosterone. So sex becomes much more, the feeling comes up, the orgasms get stronger, everything gets better with testosterone. There's actually a funny story. I had a lady who was just over 50 years old. We brought her testosterone levels up where they're supposed to be. About 5 months after we started, she comes in and she goes, "Hey, I had the first orgasm I've had in 5 years last night." She goes, "Was that from the testosterone?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." And she goes, "Okay, you didn't tell me that. You need to lead with that next time."
Yeah, don't forget to mention that benefit.
Right? Yeah. She was like, "You told me my bones would get better and my heart would get better." And that's fantastic. She was like, "But I would have been a lot more happy about this thing had I known about the sex piece." And I was like, "That's my fault. I'm sorry." So now I tell that story every time we talk about it.
What do we know about where testosterone's level should be? Because one of the things I'd heard is that there's not a lot of great research, especially for women, about what range are we even shooting for? And does that also vary over the lifespan?
Yeah. So the numbers that we typically like to see are somewhere between 80 and 150. Some women need a little bit less, say 60. Some women need a little bit more, around 200. But everyone's body is a little bit different. That's why that range is kind of, that's so big. The safety factors we have to look at is basically, how thick is the blood getting? How's your hemocrit and how's your hemoglobin going? Your H&H. If those get too high, your blood's getting too thick. So you go and you donate blood and you save 3 lives and possibly your own, and everything's fine. So that's the safety piece, is watch your H&H. But we can also start to see people who are getting some acne or darkening of hair, those type of things. Then we can start playing with the dosage and say, okay, instead of once a week, go to 2 injections a week, and that'll kind of help break everything up. So the general ranges that we're looking for are between 80 and 150. That's a really solid range for a lot of these women. And we're seeing lots of really, really good results all the way across the health spectrum and, of course, the sexual function at those ranges.
And what kind of numbers are people coming in with?
10, 20.
Wow.
I mean, really, really low.
Yeah.
You have to understand that stress and testosterone are inversely proportional. So the higher the stress you have, the lower the testosterone you're going to have. And I don't care how much you love your kids and how much you love your husband and how much you love your life, there's a good chance if you have a job and kids and a husband, you're going to have a decent amount of stress. So
right.
We just need to look. And I always tell people, look, I don't know what's going on with your heart without an echocardiogram. I don't know what's going on with your hormone levels without a blood test. So let's just get a test. Let's see where you're at. If that's not the issue, well, let's find out what the issue is. But if the issue is that you have 10, your testosterone levels are 10, well, let's fix that first and then go see what the other issues are if that doesn't resolve.
Are there any other interventions you do before testosterone supplementation? Are there lifestyle changes that are going to affect testosterone levels?
Yes. So one of the things that we'll do is we go through and we start off, and I've run kind of a weird practice. We do lots of Eastern medicine stuff and lots of Western medicine stuff. So we'll go through first and we'll evaluate your stress levels. We'll check and make sure, do you have a parasitic infection? Do you have a yeast overgrowth in the gut? If we balance those two things and bring the nutrient levels back where they're supposed to be, and then we work on your mind a little bit so that you can learn how to deal with your stress, will that naturally bring your testosterone levels up? And we do this a lot for the 20 and 30-year-olds, and it helps quite a bit. However, there is a point in time where your stress and your genetics and everything, just they play such a big role that if we can't get it up once we've done that, then we will go to the injections. And that always gets us where we need to be.
Yeah. Okay. So talk a little bit about how this is administered. You've said injections a few times, and I know there's a few different ways to take testosterone. So what does this process look like?
So when we work with women, it's, or anybody, we're worried about the long term. So if I'm going to ask you, if you're going to be doing something for 20 years or so, we need to make sure that it is the safest, cleanest way we can. We have a lot of data and a lot of research on injectable testosterone. We can regulate the numbers really easily. It takes 3 to 5 minutes to do an injection. So even if you're doing it twice a week, the most you're going to spend is 10 minutes. So I like the injectables a lot more because we can, like I said, regulate dose. If you don't like it, you're having issues, you quit taking it, and 7 days later, half that medication's out of your body. So if you take it on Monday, by the next Monday, 50%'s gone. The other options we have are creams. And this one, I'm not as big of a fan of because, one, we can't get the levels high enough fast enough, but you're also rubbing this cream on you. You have to do it every single day. And some women rub lotion on themselves every day anyway, so they don't really care. But some of this you have to get inside the vaginal vault. So it's a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more intricate. The other problem is that a lot of these medications have what's called transdermal penetrating factors in them to help push the medication through the skin. And those are not always the best chemicals to be pushing into your skin every single day. So I'm not a huge fan of creams for those reasons. The pellets, which a lot of people have heard about, the Bio-T, they tell you they're bioidentical and they're natural. Any, in my opinion, anything that is 100% lab made is not that natural. If you started with horse urine and then you put it through a 2-hour lab process, I still would tell you it's not that natural. Go with the stuff we have 50 years of research on. The other problem we see with the Bio-T is that it actually shifts the pituitary function. And so it does create some problems creating other hormones and specifically testosterone in the future. So I'm not a huge fan of the pellets. The other problem is that they don't necessarily degrade or give off testosterone like they're supposed to. We've tested women who have come in for having mini strokes or having all sorts of issues, and their testosterone was 550, 500. And if you want it that high, you can do it safely. But if you don't want it that high, it's very, very dangerous to just wake up one day and be like, oh, I thought I was at 100, I'm at 500. So the pellets are not my favorite, but we have some people who are terrified of needles and just can't get it done. And so we'll say, okay, we can work with the pellets, but you're going to have to get blood tested a lot more often to make sure that you're in a safe range. So that's kind of the idea, because at the end of the day, injectables really end up giving us the best bang for our buck, and it's the safest. So, but the problem is you have to do injections.
And the injectables don't affect pituitary function?
Not nearly as much. The Bio-T thing, we've started to see some shifting of the pituitary axis that we're not super excited about.
Yeah, and what is, I mean, this isn't exactly what you do, but what does bioidentical mean? It just means it's lab made as opposed to?
I don't really know. I know it's a marketing term.
Oh, okay.
It's not a medical term where it's like, oh, bioidentical means this specific thing. It's like organic. What exactly does organic mean?
Yeah.
Like, was it organic last year? We didn't use these products, but we used these other toxic products on it. So what does it exactly mean? And so it's more of a marketing term than it is a specific clinical definition.
Going to take just a short little break to let you know about a new online course that I've got available called The Desire Spa. This is for women who are in an otherwise happy relationship but are struggling with sexual desire. This is a course just for you to figure out what is in the way of your desire, how to tune in and connect with what you could actually enjoy about physical intimacy, how to deal with all of this with your partner to totally transform your sex life so it can be something you look forward to. And basically, it can just be one more great part of your relationship with your partner instead of this thing that drags you down. The first step would be to sign up for my free masterclass at intimacywithease.com/masterclass. It'll talk about how to want sex again and lead into the next steps if you are interested in joining me in the spa. Back to the show. So where does the injectable testosterone come from? What's the source of it?
It's synthetic and it's a lab made as well. But the thing is that while I'm a big fan of obviously doing lots and lots of research, yes, we want to use organic. We want to use as clean, as natural things as possible for as long as we can. But we can also look at some things and say, okay, look, we have 50, 60 years of use and abuse research on this. I mean, you've got bodybuilders, you know, men and women who are taking 3, 4, 5, 10 times what they need. And we're like, did they die? No, they had these issues. Are those issues easy to fix? Yes, they are. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So there's enough research out that we feel safe using these. So,
yeah,
that's one of the biggest issues is it safe long-term? And what we're finding out is that injectable cypionate is, for women, is very safe. Nandrolone deconate, which we use oftentimes for men, is not safe for women. But
oh, it's a different thing.
Very much so. So for instance, if a man comes in and has a history of prostate cancer in his family, not himself, but in his family, or obviously himself, we don't want to use cypionate because cypionate can convert into not only estrogen, but dihydrotestosterone, which is, you know, at higher levels, makes your hair fall out, but it also really beats up the prostate. And we have research that shows that it has a higher propensity towards prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So we use another medication called nandrolone deconate or DECA, and that does not convert to estrogen or to DHT. However, and we don't really know why, when women take it, it deepens their voice and makes them sound like a smoker. So if that's something you're going for, if that's your goal, maybe that's an idea for you, but I would go out on a limb and say most women don't want a deeper, dark, heavier voice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the chemical that's been used in women? That's another one.
Yeah, that's testosterone cypionate. And that's the most common medication used.
Oh, that's the one that's not good for men, at least with a prostate cancer history.
Correct. Correct. It's great for men who don't have prostate cancer issues. We use that all the time. But specifically for women, that is the best medication to use.
Are these shots people are giving themselves at home, or is this they come into the office twice a week or once a week and get an injection?
My recommendation is that you learn to give yourself an injection. Because if it's, oh, hey, it's Monday morning and I'm doing my shots on Monday, great. You can wake up in the morning or you can do it at night. Like I said, 3 to 5 minutes and you're good. The problem is you have to go to the doctor's office. You got to drive over there. You got to deal with all the stuff. You know, and there's a lot of places that are still very, very COVID closed. Maybe it takes an hour out of your day. Well, an hour every single week is a lot of time. So it'd be better to just learn to do them at home and just do them yourself.
Yeah. And what are the risks or the, you know, the potential side effects or counterindications for women with testosterone?
So anytime that we have issues with clotting, that's one of the things we need to look at. So actually,
yeah, because you said the blood might get thicker, right?
Yeah, the blood gets thicker. We need to just watch that. And you can take, you know, a CBC, CMP every, I've never had to do it more often than 6 weeks. We've had some really big issues. We needed to do it every 6 weeks, but generally it's every, you know, 3 to 5 months, and we'll just kind of check and see where everything is. And then some people have to donate blood and some people are fine without it. So that's the biggest one. That's the most dangerous piece. The other things we see are every once in a while, if you're at a really high level, we haven't had this with any of our women, and we've treated lots of women, but the men who are at high levels, 2,000, 2,500, we do start to see hair loss because of the DHT conversion. Like I said, we haven't seen it a lot with women. Acne is one of those things that we do kind of start to see. And then darkening of hair is going to be really the things that we see with women. Now, the other thing that I always like to throw out is that there's a good chance that you will gain weight. The reason this happens is because at first you're going to lose weight, then you're going to gain weight. The reason is because it really ramps up your metabolism. So you're going to lose a bunch of fat, but then you're going to gain muscle. Muscle weighs substantially more than fat does.
Right.
And so you might lose 4 inches around your waist and not lose any weight or even gain a pound. You're going to feel better. You're going to have a lot more energy. You're going to look great. But if you're concerned with what the number on the scale is, that can be an issue.
Yeah. So it's important educationally for women to understand you're trading the fat for the muscle.
Correct. Like I've had women come in and I tell women, I tell everybody, I say, I will not work on weight loss. I will work on fat loss. And the reason is we had a lady come in who was very over fat. And we worked with her for quite a while. About 6 months, she lost, you know, 8 inches around her waist and was looking fantastic. And she said, I don't think this is getting me toward my goals. And I just was astonished. And I said, what? And she goes, I haven't lost the weight I want to lose. But we had her exercising and things like that. She was building muscle at the same time she was losing fat. And this was my fault because I didn't set the goals properly. And so she wanted to be 125 pounds for some reason. I don't remember why. And she was 5'6". So she built a bunch of muscle on her legs and butt and arms. And she looked fantastic, but she was 140 pounds. And it took me a while to explain to her why the number on the scale wasn't the way to go. And so now we start with that. And I say, look, don't worry about the weight. Worry about how you want to look. And let's talk about that and how you want to feel.
Yeah, how you want to feel even. Yeah.
Yes. Once we get that set up, then we can kind of understand how things go. And I have a bunch of pictures of my friends who are athletic models and, you know, things like that. And I'm like, she's 5'6". How much do you think she weighs? I'm like, she weighs 160 pounds and you can see her abs. And they just give me this astonished look. And I'm like, this is why we don't want to worry about the scale.
And what's the, I mean, is this something then that women will do for the whole rest of their lives, or how does this get adjusted as we age?
So I recommend they stay on it for the rest of their lives. For the actual physical, I'm worried about physiology. If your blood level needs to be at 100 for testosterone, for physiological need, osteoporosis, heart function, muscle function, brain function, energy, sexual function, then we want to keep it there. If we can find a way, once your stress goes away and we feed the body and everything's great, to bring those levels naturally back up to 100, cool. Let's do that. I want natural levels much more than I want medicated levels. But if we're not going to be able to get there naturally, we need to hold the body there medically, just like you would for a diabetic. We have to keep the insulin where it's supposed to be. Insulin's a hormone. We have to keep your insulin where it is so you're healthy. Same thing. We want to keep your testosterone where it needs to be so that you're healthy.
Yeah. So I want to ask you a question, which I'm thinking, and maybe other people are thinking, evolutionarily, our hormones are probably supposed to change and adapt. Like, how do you explain our need for intervention on this hormone as often as it apparently is needed versus, wait, isn't some of this change supposed to just happen as we get older or whatever? Like, what's going on that women need the support?
Well, there's a couple different things that I like to think about. You know, for instance, our sleep cycle is regulated by the sun. So when the sun goes down, it gets dark, our melatonin levels come up. When the sun comes up, our melatonin levels come down, our serotonin levels come up. Well, what's happened is with the invention of the electric light, it can be just as bright at midnight as it was at noon. So we've kind of screwed up our body that way. The idea that we don't have a bedtime anymore, we have junk food, we have 24-hour stress. I mean, you can be laying in bed 10 minutes before you're trying to fall asleep, read an article on Facebook that makes you unhappy, or read a comment that makes you unhappy. And now we have psychological stress when we're trying to calm down and go to sleep. So there's a lot of factors in our nutrition. Our food is not anywhere near where it needs to be. So we have a lot of factors playing in: bad nutrition, high stress, bad sleep. We have a lot of environmental toxins that are also playing at us. So when those all things come together, it kind of shifts off where, you know, we can't really say, well, 100 years ago, life was like this. Yeah, but we didn't have the other toxins. So the other piece is that if you want to look at it from a planned evolutionary standpoint, if you say, okay, women should no longer be getting pregnant at 50 because the chances of them carrying a viable pregnancy and then being around alive long enough for the baby, like, we shouldn't do that. If that was planned, all right, so the testosterone levels drop, so the sexual function drops, so they just don't want to have sex anymore. That would make sense if that was the design. But now we're living to 80, 90, or 100. And so instead of living to 50 or 55. So at this point, it would be, okay, even though we were set to do this thing, we now understand how the body works and what the body needs. And so we're going to increase our quality of life by changing the physiology a little bit to make sure that we have all the function that we want to have.
Yeah, that we carry that forward in years that we didn't used to get, right? That's
exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything I've forgotten to ask you? Any other point you want to make about this?
You know, one of the other things I always try to talk to patients about is, because they come in and these men will come in and they'll say, hey man, when I got this testosterone, I got so much more energy. I lost all this fat. I feel amazing. My sex drive's through the roof and everything is so much better. Thank you. Will you help my wife out? And so the first thing I always ask them is like, yeah, so you want the sex drive higher in your wife? They're like, oh, of course. I'm like, cool. Here's the thing. Look at getting a nanny and a maid. And they always look at me, they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, look, man, if your wife is fantasizing about falling asleep and she's all she can think about is curling up with her pillow at 4 p.m., there's no sex being had at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
So think about that as well as the testosterone. Yes, the testosterone is going to be a big piece, but how stressful is your wife's day? What's going on? Do we need to adjust the energy output that is going on with these women before we start demanding more energy function later in the day?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the big things we always talk about is, okay, is your day structured in a manner where that no matter what we did, you would have the energy and the desire at 8 p.m. to still have sex? And if the answer is no, well, we need to fix the way your day is functioned and structured as much as we need to fix the chemistry in your body.
Yeah.
And so that's another big piece that we always like to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, that comes up in sex therapy all the time. Like, what's the context of the sex life, right? There's not only just your day and your responsibilities and your energy, but there's your relationship and communication and all kinds of stuff. It's not always as simple as let's adjust the hormones. So,
and that's the thing. I don't want people to think, well, everything will be better if I just, you know, get some hormones. Well, if you haven't fixed your day first, the hormones might help, but it might not be the silver bullet you're looking for.
Yeah. So where do people, I mean, I want you to talk about where people can find you specifically and what you might have to offer you want to mention here, but also where do people go? I don't even know where you're located. Where do people go if they're in some other part of the country for this kind of support?
So I'm in Frisco, Texas, which is just north of Plano. We do a lot of work online. And so what's been irritating to me, and we're adding the hormone therapy onto our website at chalmerswellness.com and the Seawell store, but what's irritating is that these women will start going to their doctors and they say, hey, I want to get my testosterone levels pulled. And the doctors say, no.
Wow.
It's not that. Yeah. I'm just astonished. Like, I understand if they say, look, I can't get insurance to cover that. It'll be an extra $100. That's a totally different conversation than what they're having. These doctors are just flat saying no. And then when they get blood work from us and they go back to their doctor and they say, hey, my testosterone's 10. Will you write me a prescription? Their doctors say, no. And I get that one a lot more, yeah, right? Because they don't know anything about hormone therapy. They don't know what they're doing. So they shouldn't be writing these prescriptions,
right?
Because it's a safety issue. I get that one. That's, in my opinion, a good decision. But not running blood, why would you restrict a patient's knowledge about their own body?
Yeah.
That I don't understand.
Yeah.
So if you want, go to the website, thechalmerswellness.com, and you can order your own blood tests. And you just go to LabCorp, and you can get your blood checked. And if you say, oh, my testosterone is lower, my thyroid levels are lower than I want, you can take that LabCorp result to your doctor, because all doctors respect LabCorp results, and you can say, hey, look, will you help me? And if they won't, then you can either find a doctor who will, or you can get a hold of us. We're putting together a telemed for all 50 states option so that we can help women and men, but help people properly and get them the right information, the right medication, the right peptides, things like that. So if you want to go to the ChalmersWellness.com site, go to the Seawell store tab and order your own blood test, at least you'll have the information.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much for taking the time for talking to me.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.